Well, like most young people in the Free Church now, I suppose, I had the inestimable privilege of being born into a Christian home. And that is the best start in life you can have. My parents were ordinary working people. My mother, we had six in our family. I was number five. Dr. Paisley always said five was the number of grace. So either I was a gift of grace, or more likely it was going to take a lot of grace to put up with me. One way or the other, I came in at number five. And I was under the sound of the gospel from my earliest days. My two older brothers were really excellent musicians. And because of that, they were in the Salvation Army. Each of them was really professional class. One in particular, on his instrument, was in the top two or three people in all of Europe. He was that good. So it was natural that I would gravitate toward the Salvation Army, and they were all delighted when I arrived there. Did something they didn't often do. Very first night at junior band practice, they gave me an instrument home with me. You normally had to prove yourself a bit before you, because these are expensive instruments. And they could see, here's Cairns Genius number three. Well, man, did they ever learn that music didn't run in the blood. I did play, well, that's not true. I blew a trombone. There's a big, big difference between playing and blowing. And I blew a trombone. If you can imagine a frog with a bellyache, that's the sort of sound I got. It wasn't very good. But one thing I did find in the Salvation Army, they had a special series of meetings with youth evangelists from the United States. And under their ministry, I came to Christ. Like many young people who are saved young, periods in your teens when you don't know whether you're in your head or your heels, and there's a great lack of assurance. In my case, to a large extent, you wouldn't get any particularly good teaching in the Salvation Army, though I had some very good role models there, but not great teaching. By this time, of course, I was in Mount Marion Free Church, but being thick, like too many young people, I didn't go to ask help in the right place. And where I did ask help, I didn't get it. If I'd just gone to Bert Cook, who was my minister, he could have helped me a whole lot. But the Lord had his hand in that, because those years of struggle have been a great help to me in later life, because I have dealt with many, many, many people who have had struggles with assurance, and where other preachers couldn't empathize with them, I could tell them what they were thinking before they told me. And that was the first thing the Lord used in many an occasion to open the way for them. The 1st of February, the very early hours of the 1st of February, 1958. I suppose that's before a lot of you were born. I'm giving my age away. I was about two at the time. Actually, no. Those early hours in a men's prayer meeting, were struggling greatly, trying to get through to God on this matter, the Lord opened his word and opened my heart to see the solidity of the promise, and he sealed with assurance the work of grace in my heart. Not long after that, the Lord called me into the ministry. I had never any desire to be a preacher. I always wanted to be a lawyer, actually, but I didn't have the brains, so the Lord kept me out of that. To go to be a missionary, I could have seen maybe that happening, but to be a preacher, somebody that was afraid to go into people's houses, afraid to meet new faces, afraid to have dinner in somebody else's house, because in Northern Ireland they loved to serve two things, at least they did in those days. When you got roast beef, it was stewed onions all over the place. The taste of it would make me sick. And if you got a roast beef sandwich, they slathered a whole bunch of mustard on it, and that's the only other thing that would make me sick. So you can see I wasn't looking forward to being a preacher. But the Lord gave the word and gave a very clear call, and the rest is history. And the church has had to put up with me ever since.